Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Hey, over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing a little bit of renovation project, and for my level of ability, this would be the equivalent of someone that knows what they're doing a full knockdown and rebuild. Okay, I'm just doing a little bit of painting and stuff like that, and that. But have you ever seen these door hooks, the hooks that go on the back of the door, and they're the kind that are, they stick on it, and it's supposed to be so that you can pull it off later without any drama, without pulling paint off and all that. You know what I'm talking about? All right? It's got that little tab underneath that when it's time to pull it. Well, anyway, one of the doors had this thing on it, and it was a big, chunky one, all right? And the tab's there. So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, okay, I'm glad they put that kind of thing on here because I'm going to pull it off now. So I start pulling on the tab, and I'm pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. And guess what happened next? Pow! Yeah, it came off. Nobody told me that you're supposed to hold it with your other hand. They should put directions on those things, I reckon, yeah? And that thing, when it snapped, it smashed into my thumb. And I can tell you, by God's grace, there was no swearing involved, but it was pretty close. I had a grandkid around, or else, who knows what might have happened. But what happened there was that there was tension, there was pressure being created by that thing, and when it went pow, it actually hurt really badly. Do you ever feel like life is just pressure? Like the things that you're doing, you're trying to hold it all together, but just underneath, things are very unsettled. And even worse, you're to the point where it feels like things are about to blow. They're about to explode. Something's gonna break if something doesn't give. Maybe it's, if I have one more bad conversation, if I get one more bill that I can't actually pay until payday, which I don't even know when it might be coming. Like you're carrying more than you're meant to. You don't know how much longer you can keep up. When we go through those times in life, what do? Well, I would suggest that we chase peace. We look for stability, and we want hope, but here's the crazy thing, is the things we put our hope in, generally speaking, always end up leaving us wanting or disappointing us. But the cycle will repeat, and we'll put our hope in those things all over again. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday in the Christian world celebrates the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he had people, throngs of people lining the street and throwing palm branches in their coats in the way of the donkey, which was just absolutely crazy. It's a miracle the donkey did this thing, because the donkey would not have wanted to do it. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. Everything looked great. They were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is our king, he's coming, he's riding into town." But what they didn't know is that journey was actually leading, by the end of the week, to the cross. It all looked good, it felt great. But then, pow, there's pain. You know, it's kind of the same in life sometimes. One moment, things fill up, and then the next moment, things shift, and it's not so great anymore, and we're experiencing pressure, we're experiencing pain and uncertainty. That's why what we're talking about today matters so, so much. Because if your hope is tied to what is happening around you, that's not going to hold. Our hope has to be, and this is the bottom line today, so if you check out after this and you got this, you'll be all right. Our hope has to be tied to Jesus. If our hope is tied to Jesus, it holds. We are in a series called Easter Changes Everything. And if you missed last week's message, or you missed the ones following, or you think today's might be helpful for someone else, of course, it's not for you, then send it to them. Send them to our app, send them to the website, all those places, and they can see it. But if you today are tired of life feeling like a pressure cooker and chasing after things that just end up disappointing you over and over again, can I tell you, you are in the right place today. You came on the right day. Because we're going to look at some things that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Rome in chapter 5 that tell us what we already have instead of what we're chasing. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 starts out, therefore, got to stop right there. Anytime you see the word therefore when you're reading a passage of scripture, you need to stop and say, what is it there for? All right? And the reason the word therefore is there, it's actually a bridge. It's a bridge from where we've been to where we're going. Where we've been is this. In the first three chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul has made sure that we are undoubtedly clear that we are not as good as we think we are, and that there's no way we're going to be right with God on our own efforts. And then in chapter 4, he told us that the only way you're going to be made right with God is by faith. And we looked at last week the person of Abraham from the Old Testament to learn that it's only by faith that we're made right with God. So he spent the first four chapters telling us how we can be made right with God. Now in chapter 5, therefore, he's going to tell us what we get because we've been made right with God. Is that exciting? We get something. Do you want to know what it is? Oh, okay. See, this is moving from the principle to possession. It's not theory anymore. This is, we own this. Here's what he says. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. Now, that made right is there's actually a theological term called justification that says we are made right with God. And we need to understand what that means is that we're not just improved, we're not just managed, or we're not just gradually fixed. What we need to understand is this, that God didn't just make us better. God made you right. That's called imputed righteousness. He took Jesus' righteousness and put it on you, on your account. It's like a bank transaction that says, you are now righteous because of Jesus' righteousness. So it was imputed on you. He didn't make you better. He made you right. He goes on. Since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now, we're all chasing peace. We started with that today. And we chase peace in the world around us. We chase peace in our homes. We chase peace through our work. We chase peace through relationships. And a really scary place that we chase peace is right here in our own head. You know, because we just want to make it all settle down and we want to make everything okay and we want to be at peace within ourselves. Let me give you a reality check. You can have peace in all those places and still miss out on the peace that matters the most. Because real peace doesn't start around you. Real peace starts between you and God. And here's the great news. If you're here today, or you're online today, and you have already said yes to following Jesus, you said, I am a follower of Jesus, then you've already got it. We have peace with God. Now we're going to get peace with God. We have that. We possess that already. And, you know, generally speaking, we think this peace with God is a deep inner peace that's unexplainable and it's intangible. And that's part of it, but it's way more practical than that. You see, peace with God is not about calm feelings. It's about a conflict that was resolved. It's not about inner peace first. It's about relational peace first, the relationship that you have and I have with God. And it's not something that we build. It's something that Jesus secured on our behalf. He did it for us. See, because you were not neutral with God. I was not neutral with God before Christ. We were enemies with God. We were separated from God. Jesus didn't come to make people good. He came to restore them to relationship with God. That's why we have peace with God. Now, peace with God can then lead to peace in our inner life. You know, many people want this inner peace without dealing with the God side of things. We try to do it through calming our thoughts, through meditation and things like that. We try to do it by fixing our circumstances. Any fixers in the building? Okay, come on. I'm not the only one. Thank you very much for being honest. I see that hand. Praise God. We want to change our circumstances or control our circumstances. Hey, if I get my environment just right, just the way I like it and everything, and now don't let anybody invade that and mess it up, then I'm going to have peace, right? It doesn't work that way because it never lasts because real peace isn't found there. Okay, Siri is listening and wanting to control my calendar now somehow. I don't know what's going on there. See, the peace we're talking about between you and God is like this. When that's settled, we can actually go, I don't have to fix everything. I don't have to control everything around me. I don't have to hold on like everything's out of control because God's holding on for me. There's a steadiness in your soul. See, you can only experience the peace of God when you have peace with God. See, there's a massive difference between those two things. We want the peace of God that passes all understanding to be within us. But you can't have that until you have peace with God. The experience is the peace of God. The relationship is the peace with God, and that's what we already have. So what we need to do with this is it's really simple. Stop living life like God's disappointed in you, right? Do you ever live life that way where you keep messing up? You do something that you shouldn't have done. You know you shouldn't have done it. You got angry. You yelled at somebody. You did something stupid. And you think, oh, I'm sure God's disappointed in me. Or you wake up every morning thinking, okay, I got to work harder today to be in good relationship and at peace with God. No, that's not the way it works. You have it. It's there. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's just there. Full stop. Stop trying so hard and live from that peace. Because you're not working toward peace with God. You're living from peace with God. I hope that's an encouragement to someone here today. Paul goes on, and I like this passage because it's kind of like an infomercial. He's like he's wanting to say, hey, but wait, there's more. Here we go. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That place of undeserved privilege, it's another word for grace. Paul's saying we live in grace now. That's our place of standing. We have a place of standing, and that is grace. See, grace is not just a moment that's experienced. It's a place that you stand. It's a place that you live in. It's a place that you live life from. And see, Jesus did all the work to usher us into that grace, into the presence of the King. We have an audience with God. We have a relationship with God, and it's not a hope so. It's not, I hope I'm allowed to be in God's presence today. It's Jesus already took us there, took care of it, so we live from that place. We have that place. It's not based on performance. If a relationship with God is based on performance, you're never going to feel secure because you'd never be secure. It's not based on feelings because grace isn't something that you fall in and out of. Grace is the place where you live. It's the place where you stand and God is holding you. You don't have to hold on because your standing is secure. Your future is secure because of Jesus. And then Paul says, once again, as if, but wait, there's more. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. That sounds like fun, right? For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Paul says something wild here. He doesn't say, we survive problems and troubles. Not even we endure problems and troubles. He says, we rejoice in them. Now, just so that we're completely clear, there's no ambiguity about this. He's not saying that all pain is good. I can promise you all pain is not good. You know experientially all pain is not good. And not everything that we go through even is caused by God. We live in a world that's full of pain. We live in a fallen world. And if we're honest, some of our pain, some of our problems are self-inflicted. We've created them, at least most of mine. I create my own problems too often. The point is this. All suffering can be used by God. It can be used. See, God doesn't cause all the pain, but he doesn't waste any of it. So we have purpose in our pain. When we're going through stuff, there is a purpose behind that. The purpose is to grow our hope. And there's a progression in that. Problems come up, problems and trials come up, and it tells us that that produces endurance or perseverance. Endurance, perseverance is simply the ability to keep going when it's easier to give up. Our global worker, Lisa, who's here with us today, has got this endurance. It would be so easy to give up sometimes when you're working overseas somewhere that's a difficult context. She has that endurance, perseverance that comes from God that has built that in her life. And then from endurance, endurance builds strength of character. Strength of character that's tested, proven, refined. Character is that thing that is shown when the situation heats up, when life heats up and things get difficult, that shows our character. And then character gives us a confident hope, not just wishful thinking, but confidence that God is going to show up over and over again. Experientially, we know that, so we can have that confidence. See, when we go through stuff, hope rises. That's Paul's point here. You know, there's a beautiful picture in nature of how this works. I've got a bag full of diamonds here. Isn't that beautiful? Wish they were real. Then we wouldn't have a mortgage anymore in our building. I could hire 3 more staff members and things. But let's pretend. Diamonds don't start out as diamonds. They start out as this thing called carbon. And then over time, there's intense pressure and heat that takes something that was pretty ordinary and useless and makes it something valuable and unbreakable, something beautiful. See, the pressure doesn't destroy it. It actually forms it. The pressure is useful in that context. And here's the crazy part, is if you remove the pressure, you never get the diamond. So pressure has a purpose. Same thing is true in our lives. God doesn't just move us through the problems and through the pressure. He's actually making something of that. He's using it for our benefit. And often, see, the pressure that we're trying to escape might be the process that God is using in us. That thing that feels like it's crushing you may actually be shaping you. You know, pain comes in a lot of different forms. I remember when I was a young man, So it's a long time ago. A lot of you weren't even born yet. In early days of ministry, I was actually playing basketball with some of the guys at church. And I thought I was okay playing basketball. But this guy, he's a gorilla kind of guy, and he stepped on my toe. And I, to this day, I'm still not sure if he did it on purpose or not to stop me from slam dunking over him or whatever, probably not. But he stepped on my toe, and it really hurt badly. It crushed kind of my toe and everything. And from that time on, I developed a chronic ingrown toenail. Oh, yes, you're feeling my pain, aren't you? If you've ever had one, you're feeling my pain. All right. So, and anyone that got close to my foot, they became a target, okay? Because they were going to move quickly out of my way because that just, I couldn't handle anything, even a shoe on it sometimes. And so then I got these little things that you can get at the chemist. They look like scissors, but they're actually a surgery tool. You know what I'm talking about? And for years and years and years, probably a couple of decades, I took care of that thing myself. But it always came back. And it was so painful. Probably the most pain I've ever experienced in my life. They say childbirth is painful. It didn't hurt nearly as bad. It's the after childbirth that actually hurts. But anyway, oh, wow. I need to get back to my script, don't I? Finally, I got to the point I couldn't handle it anymore. It's like I can't solve this myself. And I went and got help, had surgery, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and all that. Pain comes in different forms. Emotional pain is even worse. I can tell you, I'm actually here today pastoring this church as a result of a whole lot of pain in ministry. Of actually being kicked out of our wonderful country, almost literally, by the organization that I was with before that. I can't share the whole story, but it was so painful because we were trapped in this legalistic culture that just insisted on how that you should do things and everything. There was no freedom in it. There was no love. There was no grace. And when we got kicked out, it was one of the most painful experiences emotionally, not the ingrown toenail, that was painful, physically, but of my life. I was devastated. But if it hadn't have been for that, we wouldn't have grown. God used that pressure to grow us, to form us, to help us come out of that past into the freedom we experience today and into the type of ministry that we are able to do today with you and with those around us. And it's such a blessing now, but it didn't feel like it then. God used that pressure, he used that pain to make something good. You know what's being formed in you, Paul tells us? Hope. Most of the time, when we're going through problems, we think we're losing hope. Paul says, no. When you're going through problems, that's the pathway to hope. You're going to have hope because of the pain that you're going through. Justification, our right standing with God, doesn't remove our trials. It just gives them purpose. Without Christ, they are pointless. With Christ, they have purpose. So if you're feeling pressure, know that God is forming something in you. If you want out, maybe God wants growth. And maybe instead of asking the question, how can I get out of this? Ask God, how can you grow me in this? What do you want to develop in me because of this? All right, we're going to land this plane pretty quickly. But before we do, Paul's got one more thing he wants us to understand. This hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Hope does not disappoint. It does not put us to shame. It does not collapse under pressure. We have hope that lasts, not hope that's temporary. All the other things we put our hope in are temporary at best. That's why they end up disappointing us. You know how it works. If you put your hope in people, what happens? They end up disappointing you. Yeah, I actually preached a whole sermon around that, that we need to spread the disappointment around because we're people and we're gonna disappoint each other. If you put your hope in success, what happens? One day you may be on top. The next day it may shift. If you put your hope in health, you're one diagnosis away from feeling hopeless. If you put your hope in money, Jesus said, that's just silly because it's so temporary. Don't put your hope there. Every other hope eventually lets us down, and we've all felt it. Proverbs chapter 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We walk around with sick hearts because our hope is so delayed because we're putting it in the wrong place. This hope is different because God has anchored it in his love. It says he poured out his love on you. Not just a trickle from a leaky tap, but poured it out through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit assures us of that. The Holy Spirit reminds us of that. The Holy Spirit makes God's love feel real for us. It's not just an intellectual thing that we can understand because it's true, but we actually experience it because he gave us the Holy Spirit. The question that we need to go home with today is this. What are you building your hope on? Because we're all building our hope and our lives on something. Something that we're trusting, something that we're leaning on, something we hope will hold when life gets tough. And you already know, if you build your hope on something that can change, it will. And you'll end up disappointed. So be honest with yourself. When the pressure hits, where do you run to? Where do you run to? When life feels uncertain, what are you clinging to and holding to? You don't have to keep chasing hope. You can live from hope, live from peace that God has already given you. You know what we do instead? When the pressure comes, we panic. When things go wrong, we spiral. And when life hurts, we go back to, okay, I need to control everything again. Can I encourage you to try something different this week? When the pressure rises, pause. Pause in that moment before you react. Because that moment is where it's going to get real. That's where your faith is going to be tested. Your character is going to be proven. That's where this all gets real. And instead of spiraling, instead of trying to control everything, try a different response. Just instead of saying, how do I get out of this? Say, God, I don't like this. I'm not going to lie. This hurts. It's not fun. But what are you trying to do? What do you want to grow? How are you going to make my character stronger? How are you going to give me hope for the future? And leave that to him. See, you're not empty in that moment. You already have what you need. You already have peace with God. If you're following Jesus, it's done. You're standing in grace. It's done. There is purpose to this pain that you're going through. And your hope is not going anywhere. It's there. It's solid. It is secure. So don't just try to get through it. Stand in what you already have. Next week, we get to celebrate Easter. For those of you in the room that are already Christians, that is our favorite day of the year. We get to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And we celebrate because that moment proves everything I just talked about and that Paul wrote about here. Because when Jesus walked out of the tomb, he secured for you and you and you and you and you and me a hope that holds even when life hurts. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for securing a hope that is beyond anything that we could achieve, that we could imagine. And Lord, we're human, we're frail. And Lord, we like to trust things that we can see and that we can control. Lord, help us to open-handedly today release control. Lord, you are so good. And Lord, you've already given us peace with you. Thank you, God, for that. And because of that, we can have hope. And Lord, even when life is hard, we can have hope. We can cling to that when it's hard. And Lord, honestly, we don't love the trials and the problems. And we're not going to rejoice because they're there. But Lord, help us to have the strength to rejoice in them, knowing that you are developing something. You are using that pressure to form something greater than we could ever imagine, greater than what we are right now. Lord, give us faith, give us confidence, give us trust in you, that when life hurts and we feel the pain, we don't have to give up. And we don't have to put our trust in things that are going to let us down. We can hope and have confidence in you day after day after day because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.